Are there any disciples of Jesus still alive today? Hello, and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring issues of faith and the Bible. This week, our discussion focuses on the Gospel of Luke, and our specific title is The Call to Discipleship. My name is Paul Dibdahl. I have two discussion partners with me today, Pam Kress, a professor in the School of Social Work and Sociology at Walla Walla University, and Daryl Bigger, a colleague of mine, professor in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University also. Thank you both for joining me.
You're welcome.
So I'm going to press you with that first question. Are there any disciples of Jesus still alive today?
Absolutely.
Which one of the 12, Daryl?
Discipleship was not limited, of course, chronologically, right? Those disciples were those who were willing to give up what their first occupations, preoccupations were, and respond to Jesus' invitation. And there are many people who do that today.
Okay. So kind of a trick question. You saw right through it. And I think answered well, Daryl. A disciple is a follower. A student. Mm-hmm. So are there followers of Jesus today? Absolutely, there are. You said something about being willing to leave everything to follow Jesus. When Jesus called for them to follow him, do you think they had any kind of association with him before? Did they have any kind of knowledge? Or some man came along and said, follow me, and they left everything and followed him.
Well, it's an interesting question because I don't know that I've ever thought about their prior training in religion and exactly how devoted they might have been and maybe were even looking for the Savior. Mm-hmm. So it is a very interesting question, and I'm not sure how to answer that.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Geographically, they would be in that same area of Palestine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And presumably, if Jesus had begun his work through baptism, as Luke organized it in an organized way, that would have occurred. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there are some hints that some of those people were aware of what Jesus was doing and saying. Mm-hmm. So, sure, there would have been the buzz there. Mm-hmm. For me, the response of the disciples is more a willingness to risk doing something different. They came back to fish when Jesus left, mm-hmm. so it wasn't that they destroyed their business. That was maintained somehow, but mm-hmm. it was that they were willing to risk venturing in this new way. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, is a real key to discipleship.
Mm-hmm. Say a little more about they came back to fish after Jesus left. Are you talking mm-hmm. about after he ascended and went back to heaven, his ministry was done? Or
After his resurrection,
right?
He met the disciples back in Galilee.
And they were already fishing.
And they were up there fishing.
We know, many of us know, that some of the disciples were fishermen. Were all mm-hmm. of Jesus' disciples fishermen? What were some of the other...
Tax collector,
very different kind of occupation. Mm-hmm. Any others mm-hmm. that... We don't have to nail down all of them, but I just wondered if mm-hmm. tax collector, fisherman, some of them we don't know. Mm-hmm. One of the disciples is called a zealot, mm-hmm. which was probably indicating a certain political party that was strongly opposed to Roman rule. So there it was a diverse group of mm-hmm. 12. Mm-hmm. Do you suppose that these 12 were somehow better than everyone else in that mm-hmm. part of the country? Is that why Jesus chose them as disciples?
Boy, wouldn't
were they
every,
more holy? Or?
Yeah. Wouldn't every HR director and headhunting company in the world want to know how Jesus went about singling out these people? Mm-hmm. Because it does seem to be a very specific mm-hmm. invitation. There were crowds following him, but these people were the named ones who were invited into a special kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. I would love to know how all of that happened.
Because they really were just very humble people. Blue collar workers, maybe some. Tax collector may have been a little more of a professional, but these people weren't people of high means and and station.
So maybe it's too obvious a point to draw right away, but that does suggest something, an application even today, right? Jesus invites, who does he invite to follow him? It could be that he invites just all of us, regardless of our station in, in life, our place in life. Why would Jesus even bother to call together a team of disciples? Was it for their sake, for his sake, for our sake? I'm thinking of, you know, a parent with a young child, and a parent will sometimes say, okay, you know, little Johnny, do you want to come out and help me fix the car? Or do you want to help, do you want to, little Jennifer, do you want to come help me mow the lawn? And it's not really a help fixing the car and mowing the lawn, but it's for the sake of the child.
The kids,
What do you think with Jesus? Did he really need a team? Did they slow him down? Why did he call disciples anyway?
Before we finish this discussion, Pam, I want to hear from you about leadership. One of the things that occurs to me is that every leader prepares people to take over when they are gone. So he was really training the trainers. The succession was being set up here.
No, those were my thoughts exactly. Here's a person who's getting ready and establishing a kingdom, and he's putting some leaders in place to make that happen. I think in the big picture view, he could have just taken care of it all in one fell swoop and not needed any of us.
Sure.
But establishing that kind of a succession plan.
So there's really an irony here in that he wasn't recruiting followers, he was recruiting leaders. And what are the leadership characteristics he saw in these people that were so persuasive to him to single them out? I mean, we sort of lean on the famous three who tended to be more flamboyant than the others, but there were some quiet, retiring people, some hesitant, skeptical ones in that group of 12 as well. What is it about this combination of people that made it so intriguing to him that he would choose them?
You say that, Darrell, it reminds me of some of the stories involving the disciples. If you're recruiting a group of followers, it seems like that the chances are greater that the group would get along well together, right? But the disciples didn't always get along well together, which would make sense if you've recruited a group of leaders. There'll be some sparks along the way. There'll be people vying for control, and we see that in the gospel.
Sure. Well, you know, good leadership theory does talk about the fact that you need a diversified group of people. You don't have to have people all of the same qualities and gifts and strengths and even weaknesses to make a good product. So he obviously intuitively knew that and said, we've got to have all these people, the hotheads versus the introverts versus the people who are friendly and know how to get along well with others.
Sure. So. The negotiators and the pronouncers and the
and all of those people together will make a good outcome.
Yeah.
If I asked, and I'm going to now, what is the one necessary quality that is required of someone who wants to be a disciple of Jesus? How would you answer that question?
I think belief, but I don't know. That's what comes to my mind to me is belief.
And a variety of that is true for me, and that is a willingness to trust God to take you into the future. That's the risk part for me. It is to let go of my own ability to take care of myself and trust that God, with the impressions I'm getting from God, that that will be sufficient.
Can you be a disciple even if you struggle with belief and struggle with trust?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I prayed the prayer many times, help my unbelief. Because there's times when you don't feel like you believe.
You bet. Story after story from the lives of these 12 people illustrate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's turning back on the definition of disciple itself, but a disciple is someone who follows. So the one necessary quality or ingredient of discipleship is following Jesus. And maybe sometimes we'll do that even when we're struggling with some of those other questions. But in the following, in the choice to continue to follow, some of the challenges of doubt or belief, maybe those things will gradually get worked through, mm-hmm. or answered maybe, mm-hmm. to our satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Jesus doesn't just call his 12 disciples to follow him, but he also commissions them. And Luke tells us that he designates them as apostles. We should probably just quickly make sure we understand what that word means. What's an apostle? How's that different from a disciple? You're both looking at me.
Yes, you are. You're the Greek
yeah,
man.
The Greek scholar, not really. An apostle is, the word means one who is sent. Uh-huh. So there's two senses. The disciple has the idea of following. Mm-hmm. Apostle is one who is then sent out into the world. Mm-hmm. And I think we would always want an apostle to be first a disciple. In following Jesus, mm-hmm. you're equipped then to go out into the world. I think Jesus still calls disciples. We started our time together today with that. And I think Jesus still commissions people as apostles, sends them out into the world to share the message of his love. Daryl?
Are you suggesting that you can be a disciple without being an apostle? That you can just follow, you don't have to share anything, you don't have to go out and witness for yourself?
I think we will always be sharing. We'll always be sharing just by the fact that we are alive and interacting with people. Mm. I do think that there is a special calling for some people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That goes beyond what, mm-hmm. the kind of sharing that we all ought to be doing,
sure.
through our lives.
Sure.
Yes.
And you're reminding me of a phrase by a communication person who says, you cannot not communicate.
Yeah.
So all disciples are sharing all the time.
Yes. And if you're listening today, I want to, it's a kind of an appeal here. And that is that if you've heard Jesus calling you, I want to assure you that he won't stop calling. And I'd like to encourage you to say yes. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks to David Olson and my conversation partners, Pam and Daryl. I look forward to meeting with you again next week. For The Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdall.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.